Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
My name is Dave, and I'm on the pastoral team here, and look forward to possibly meeting you at some point. If you've been around for the fall, we started in September in Neighbor. We went to Grow, and November is Sent. And if you're studying in behind the scenes, you're probably discovering that we're talking all about our values of Living Waters Church. Sent, we began last Sunday with Story Sunday, the best. Hearing people's journey about God leading their lives as sent people, global work towards Canada, how beautiful God is to do his work within our lives. And today, we're talking about sent, and certainly we'll begin to appreciate in a fresh way Living Waters' values of the Great Commission and recognizing and releasing. Simply stated, our text in John chapter 20 in our series is really seeing Jesus coming to get his disciples to get moving. It's basically that. Stick around, there's more, but that's basically it. It was Jesus coming to get his disciples to say, get moving. There are times in our lives, whether as an animal or a person, that we find ourselves not moving. And it is during those times that we need those to come and get us, to get us turned around, and to get us moving. I'll let you enjoy that slide. I'm not even going to look to see if it's there. I just know it's there. Our text today and our theme for November, John 20, verses 19 to 22, Jesus comes and gets his disciples. And I want us to imagine that today. And as Victoria shared, perhaps the Lord would talk to us about how the Lord is coming to get us. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We've been singing this already, and perhaps we would find ourselves in a scriptural context to continue to consider this. In our text today, we find our disciples, followers of the way, when seeing and hearing of Jesus' death, they retreated. And we're meeting behind locked doors. I'm sure you can easily imagine that today. This small group of followers had found a secure place. It was because of their fear and the uncertainty of the future. 3 days prior to this Easter Sunday, they witnessed and heard of Jesus' cruel death on a cross. And because of that, their future was uncertain. They didn't know if they were coming or going. So they stood still. They actually went behind closed doors and sat. If you think about it, I wouldn't blame them. Many of these disciples had left their first careers to follow Jesus. Now that Jesus was dead, I'm sure they wondered what was up. There was a sense of uncertainty about, I'm sure, families, finances, their jobs, their livelihood, their friendships. The master plan, perhaps, was all to not be now reconsidered because Jesus was dead. And that certainly moved these disciples into what they thought of as a secure place to hide. But even though they were behind closed doors, our text says that Jesus comes to get them. And if Jesus had not, I'm quite certain they would have remained behind closed doors for quite a while, and it would not have been a good thing. So consider the conversation of Jesus appearing in front of them. I can only imagine what that would have been like on that first Easter Sunday. Jesus draws near, and how appropriately, out of consideration, because of the surprise, he says, "Peace." A good place to start. Perhaps it was more than his words that were bringing peace, but as the witness of his presence in the room that was allowing them to discover a peaceful gift coming through a peaceful person. For the disciples to have Jesus standing in front of them, it must have been exciting, it must have been overwhelming, unnerving all at once. The thought, perhaps, Jesus is risen. Is the plan on again? Is my master now alive so I can pursue these discovered through Christ hopes, dreams, and the call upon our lives? Would that all be on again? And so, as we've read in our text, beyond the peace, Jesus introduces two words that we are gathering in November around. And the word is sent and send. And they have two slightly different connotations. So Jesus, when speaking of himself in our text, says, "As the Father has sent me." And what is highlighted in this word sent is the destination. The Father has sent me to an appointed place, to an appointed people, and the emphasis is on the destination. It's about from here to there, and the sent word is about the there. It's about a specific there. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And the priority of the word send, different than sent, the word send refers to the equipment being given to get to where you need to get, or to get the task done at hand. So when Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you," he was putting those two ideas together in the sense that just the Father has sent me, so I would send you to an appointed place, to an appointed people, and as I would send you, I am giving you the equipment and the capacity to do, when you get to those people and places, what I have in my mind for you to do. Does that make sense? Sent and sent, it's different. I'm equipping you with all you need to get to the appointed places and people I have for you to get to. So as they heard this, it was obvious that staying behind closed doors was not what Jesus had in his mind for them. To get out there, they needed to move beyond the closed doors, primarily of their hearts. It wasn't so much about the physical doors, although that was what they found themselves in, but it was more, again, about the opening up of the heart that was closed towards being a sent people. They weren't simply called to the people that were in the room. They were called to people outside the room. And the question that Jesus was bringing to them was, do you actually have space in your heart for others? It's the question. There is not a lot of space in that physical room. So it wasn't about bringing them there. It was actually a question of the heart. Do you actually have space in your heart as you open it for others? Friends, the word send and sent is at the very heart of the story of God. God's desire has always been that the whole world, would be in a close, intimate relationship with him. The whole world. Billions of people. That the whole world. That his people would be blessed and be a blessing to all the people and all the nations of the world. And so God has always gone and got people up and out towards that end of the whole world knowing and being in an intimate relationship with him. That's at the very heart of the story of God. And because of that, I think it needs to be at the very heart of our story. So how did we get to John 20? Let me help us today flip through the pages of Scripture in a little bit of a touch point just to see some of the highlighted ways in Scripture, Old and New Testament, that God had that continually at the center of his story with mankind. So let's just kind of walk through from the beginning to John 20. In Genesis chapter 1, think about the beginning. God made Adam and Eve, and with the responsibility of ruling and subduing and multiplying, right? Multiply. Genesis chapter 1. And while they had an initial beginning on that, the couple made some poor decisions, and that plan didn't go the best way. So Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God placed his hand upon a family, Abraham's family, with specific thoughts of, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. Genesis 22, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. This family made some poor decisions. So God caught up to the nation of Israel and asked of Moses to lead this nation out of Egyptian slavery. Exodus chapter 3, God said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. So God raised, look to a couple people, look to a family, look to a nation. God raises up the people of Israel to be blessed and to be a blessing to all the nations of the world. We're reminded of that in Joshua, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. The psalmist spoke of it in the midst of kings, prophets. The plan was still the same. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth and your salvation among all the nations. Well, how did that work out? Not as good as it could have. So again, a couple people, a family, a nation. And in Israel got that sent piece quite often wrong more than they got it right. But again, at the heart of the story of God, God's persistence continues. And though millions of his people had got it right sometimes and wrong other times, he knew that one person would get it right. And so Isaiah prophesies of this. Behold my spirit, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and we will bring forth justice to the nations. So again, people, family, nation, but one will get it right, Jesus. The story of God, Jesus. And that actually did happen. John chapter 1, verse 14, the word became flesh and blood. And he moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. The plan continued through Jesus, right? To bless the nations of the world, Jew and Gentile. How awesome the gospel and the good news is. The heart of the story of God, that all the nations of the world would be an intimate relationship with him. How's that going? So as Jesus teaches prior to his ascension, he says, don't forget my story. Don't forget my plan. And so through now the understanding of the gospel, being able to preach to Jew and Gentile, the great commission rises, the great challenge for followers to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So now we have a backyard, a region, a province, and a nation, and global interests to be on our mind. Right? The heart, central to the heart of the story of God, is that the whole world would be in an intimate relationship with him. So when Jesus shows up in John 20 to find disciples behind closed doors, He walks into a room with a concern for them, with a concern for the whole world, and knew that he had to get his followers out behind those closed doors to fulfill the great commandment and great commission, because they're not just nice ideas. They're strategy. They're divine strategy. So Jesus came and got them. And he got them up and out into a life that was conducted and orchestrated through the movement of the Holy Spirit. Lives that had turned inward were needing to turn outward. So you follow the story along. Jesus ascends. I'm walking through the story here. And what's an up out of that room? Those disciples were quite successful. Spirit-empowered living enabled them. Acts 16:5 says, so the churches were strengthened in their faith and they grew large every day. Plan was happening. The church was people that were on mission. There was a movement that was influencing to the ends of the earth. And how cool it must have been to be a part of the first century church. As hard as it would have been, how exciting it would have been. The gospel goes forth, and significant church planting initiatives happen in various nations of the world. And friends, I want to encourage you that what was happening and what was central to Jesus, why when he went and got them, was he was establishing a Christology that created missiology, that created ecclesiology. And we talked about this at our volunteers retreat in September. Christology over here says Jesus loves all the nations of the world, right? The Christology on this side. And he calls people to be on a mission, and that the ecclesia, or the church, forms itself around the mission that was given to us by Christ. This is so big. What happens is it often goes this way across the room rather than this way across the room, in the sense that the church, the ecclesia, says, what do we want to do this week? And we ask Jesus Christ to bless us. And how subtle that is, but it happens all the time. It happens in my life. The word for church in the New Testament is ecclesia. Ecclesia, that's the truest form, the church. And its New Testament form, ecclesia, was simply a gathering or an assembly of people called out for a specific purpose. So when Jesus came and got the disciples out of that room, he was forming them into the ecclesia. Get up and out and create movement. And that movement out of those closed doors is the movement of the church. An ecclesia was simply a gathering and assembly of people called out for a specific purpose. Ecclesia was never referred to as a specific place, a building. It was a gathering of divine citizens called out from their homes, from behind closed doors into public places. The ecclesia. So in John chapter 20, when Jesus came and got his disciples hiding behind closed doors, he was calling them to be and go act like the church. Be the ecclesia. Get moving. Get out in the public. Be the church. And over the years, the church has had varying levels of success as a movement. Again, as you study church history, and even in the context of our Bible, those first years, AD, we see that subtly the church went from this way to that way. And it was subtle. And as a result of that, the definition of the ecclesia changed, moving the definition away from being a movement, and the church has suffered ever since. Followers of Christ, because of various reasons, instead of stirring up a passion, they settled down. and the definitions changed. Over time, slow but sure, the definition of the definition and defining characteristics of ecclesia drastically changed. And the church or the ecclesia came to be understood as a location or as a building, a place with an address, not a people who were of no address but who were on mission. Ecclesia became something you went to rather than something of who you are. And the Romans began calling the ecclesia the basilica, and Latin people began to denote the church as a public building or an official meeting place. So this November series, so we launch it with story, and I would launch it again into the next 2 weeks of teaching. But the ecclesia is a movement of people. It's a movement of people. It's not a building. Church is not a building. Church is people who are moving into public places of worship and good works and good deeds. This is important to get our definitions right, because if we don't get our definitions right, it will drastically determine what we prioritize as a group of people. So in Luke chapter 10, we see the ecclesia in the truest sense of the word. So the very first time that Jesus sent, people on mission, and he called the people around it, was in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. And perhaps some of you have heard me refer to this verse many times, but it's so central to this direction. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples, and he sent them. So here's again, this word ecclesia, very center of Luke chapter 10. He sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, the workers are few, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go, and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, may God's peace be on this house. And if those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they're not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they will provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work there deserve their pay. If you enter a town and welcome, and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. Now again, he was sharing this missional strategy with all the peoples of the earth on his mind. So six thoughts. He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Could it be that our first responsibility as followers of the way is to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field? I want to encourage you every day, to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into your workplace, into your neighborhood, to the four corners of the earth. We need the awakening, right, of all the people to do a good job. He said, go. You're a sent people. You're not a people that hide behind closed doors. You're a sent people to who? To people that will receive you. The gospel and the movement of the church is not to be always a confrontation. It's to find people of peace, because Jesus is working in his world. When you go and find these people, enter their houses. Maybe literally, maybe figuratively, enter into someone's life. Be a good neighbor. Enter into people's personal space and consider personal issues and personal matters and engage in real life relationship. Enter. Don't move around from house to house. Can't help everybody. You can help some. Can help some, so why don't we try? Helping hands is exciting. We're believing for 300 people to be involved in helping hands, and I'm praying that we would fill our slots well. Community groups are expecting us to show up, but I'm also thinking that perhaps of the sum of the 300, they're going to, myself included, perhaps we're going to meet some new lifetime friends. So we'll be filling a role, but perhaps it will lead to ministries that we'll be participating in for the rest of our lives. Can you imagine? Don't move around from house to house. Help. Sit still. Sit amongst. Settle down in the midst of, right? Don't move around from house to house. Heal. In other words, how do we help people? We were at, Julie and I were at someone's house last night for dinner, and one of the questions that came up was, yeah, we certainly need to know who needs help. That's so good. And then finally, tell them the kingdom of God is near. I want to challenge the thought that I've heard over the years, and I've actually said it, and I think it's a little bit incorrect, but the thought that I will preach and use my words if necessary. And while I understand the idea of being good example and kind, this potentially is misleading because the gospel is not primarily about what you and I do, as nice as I am. And as nice as you are. The gospel message is not about me. It's about Jesus discovering Jesus. That's the good news. The good news is not people meeting me. Again, as nice as I am. But it's about Jesus, who is the Savior of the world. All the nations of the world. So at some point, we find voice. The gospel is news. It's good news to be announced. Did you know on Friday night, Alpha's great. There's good things. And I heard roundabout that this past Friday night at Alpha, that's happening in our, where's our room? Over here. Yeah, over here. In a youth center, there's a group that are meeting, and someone gave their life to Jesus Friday night. How cool is that? And Bibles were given out. That's so good, Jesus. And Bibles were given out to people that had never had a Bible. And there was actually one that was there that told one of our workers, I receive this Bible and I open it and I have never read the Bible before. Wow. Wow. So again, Alpha is not about meeting nice people, as important as that is. It's about people meeting Jesus. Because Jesus saves. That's the good news. That's the truest good news. May we never forget that God continually considers the needs of all the people of the world. Every family, every face, every smile, every frown, every time someone laughs and every time someone cries, all over the earth. At our volunteers retreat at the end of September, we talked about Living Waters history. Living Waters is a church that has multiple locations, right? There's a location in Fort Langley, and there's also a location in Willoughby. But the question rises, is there other neighborhoods? Is there other responsibilities that we have as a community has? Because people are all around us that need to meet nice people and need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So again, as we consider this Sent series, we apply it personally, moved and motivated by the power of love, and we also have to consider it as a group. Where would the Lord be sending all us collectively into new neighborhoods, and how curious we would be to see those questions answered. So as we conclude today, I want to encourage you to prayerfully and intentionally continually consider the story of God. I hope and pray with me for me, pray for each other, let's pray for all of us that the story of God would captivate our imagination continually, and it would be enlarged. And as it's enlarged, our story would be enlarged as we find stride in the midst of the story of God. What often happens is my story enlarges and God's story shrinks, and that's so bad. But it happens all the time. And as the story of God enlarges in your heart and in your mind and in your imagination, I hope you would say yes to your to the role that you play on the team, right? The cast member on the set. And you'd play your cards well, play your role well, because only you can play your role on this team, right? You've got to. And finally, let Jesus come and get you. Every day, let Jesus come and get you. Each day, wherever you are, whatever desk you sit at, or whatever car you drive, or whatever address you have, or wherever you find yourself, or wherever you're walking, let Jesus come and get you, to move you to places where he needs you to get. And when he comes and gets you, don't hesitate, but hurry along as a sent person to that chosen place and person that he wants you to meet. He wants you to serve. He wants you to help find healing. And perhaps he wants you to share with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Could we stand together as we sent people? So as the Father has sent me, Jesus says, so I send you. So I send you. So I send you. Lord, today we've kind of find ourselves in the midst of a real kind of a real serious conversation today. Enlarge your story, O God, within our hearts and within our minds. Stir a passion in our hearts, O God, and let it overflow. Lord, we open up our hearts to you today in a fresh way. We give you permission to move and motivate us. We give you permission today to come and get us. We pray that we would serve well in our backyards, that we would carry the provincial and national concerns well, and we would be people very attuned to global interests and global work. We realize, God, that they don't compete against each other. They complement each other. So open our hearts, we pray, to those around us. We allow you today to equip us through the work of your Holy Spirit to increase our capacity to serve and be served by you. I pray for my friends in this room that a number of us in this room today would have the privilege of leading someone to know you personally. Lord, how great it would be to be in Luke chapter 10 and to hear the reports of the disciples who left the room and came back and said, Jesus, let me tell you about what happened. I pray that throughout the week in our small groups and our life groups that those stories would be so clearly testified to of the good works and good ways you're using all of us. I pray as we would even gather next Sunday, that there would be joy, that we would be delighted as we hear the good story of how you have moved and motivated us this week towards love and good deeds. Thanks for the good things you're doing. I pray for our friend who came to know you Friday night through Alpha. Pray that whoever they are, that you would establish them this weekend, continually reminding them of your good love for them, and that this dear friend of ours would truly find good stride early in their Christian journey, and even this weekend witness and share of the good things you're doing in their lives. We love you today. Dismiss us with a joy in our hearts. We pray for blessing upon this Remembrance Day gathering just beside us here, as thousands will gather. We pray that there would be good honor in this community this day. In Jesus' name, amen.